God is good all the time, even in the midst of a pandemic. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, teach us some truths that we probably already know, but remind us again the importance of being simple praying people. Touch our hearts in a fresh way this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You've got an outline there, a normal weekly one that we have, and you've got some fills and places in. They'll all come up on the screen, and that helps you to remind you and remember what we've been talking about this morning. So if you've got one of that prayer guides, open it up. A rabbi said to a very knowledgeable little six-year-old boy, "So your mother says your prayers for you each night." Very commendable. "What does she say?" Little boy replied, "Thank you, God, he's in bed." The greatest longing God has for us is that we get to know him, to love him, and to enjoy his company. And when we talk to God or listen to him, head to head, heart to heart, this is prayer. The great revivals that took place always came after people were devoted to praying. Many people love studying the Bible, love reading God's word, even to the point of neglecting prayer. Yet it is when people pray that the devil trembles. He doesn't tremble when you read the Bible. He trembles when you pray, because he knows what that can do. We all pray when we're desperate, just as we all run when we want to catch a bus or get to work on time. But it's only when we spend time with the one we love will we grow. When we spend time with God, we will be like him. And the changes may not be instant or dramatic. More likely, the changes will be gradual. It will take place over a period of time. John Wesley was convinced that God does nothing but in answer to prayer. And he spent 2 hours each day seeking God's blessing on his work. Wow. Martin Luther said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day." Wow, again. Sometimes we seem to think that prayer is only for special people. You know, the deeply spiritual people, the ones that spend hours a day reading God's word. And if I pray, well, nothing much will happen. So I don't pray unless I'm desperate. This morning we want to look at simple praying people who get results as they come to God in prayer. And I believe God doesn't want to hear great theological words. He wants to hear words that come from our heart. Let's look at the first verse in Luke 18 that we read this morning. Verse 1, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." The old King James Version says, "and do not faint." The problem many of us have when we pray, we are fainters. We pray for a few times, we don't seem to get an answer, God doesn't do what we expect him to do, so we give up in praying. We faint in our praying. Yet here in this verse, Jesus instructs us all not to give up on praying, to persevere in prayer. And Jesus uses this parable to show that if a worldly unjust judge finally gives a persevering widow her requests, how much more will a just and holy and loving father give to his children when we cry to him day and night? So let's look at quickly at 5 points this morning. Simple praying people. Now, you've got to fill some things in here. Simple praying people are, firstly, concerned people. Concerned people. Co-fighting in a co-worker, the worker told her about a problem in her office. And she had a fear that she would lose her job. So the co-worker was very concerned about her and said she would pray with me and for me. Now, she knew that she keeps a list of 10 people that she believes and needs her prayers the most. So she asked her if she had room just for one more on her list. Oh, yes, she replied. 3 of the people have died. I don't know if that would be much encouragement, would it? This widow had been mistreated. She had been hurt and she wanted justice to be done. So she went where she thought she would get it, to a judge, but he was a crooked judge, a judge that wasn't really interested in God. He was a judge that really wasn't interested in people. And her concern was that justice be done, so she persevered with that judge, kept haggling at him. She just wouldn't go away until she got what she wanted. And he gave in, and he gave her what she wanted. Dear friends, in our praying, we must really have a concern for what we are praying about. When we come to God in prayer, we desire to see our family come to know Christ. Do we give up on them? If, of course, they don't, we've got to keep on praying. When we want our church to grow spiritually and we want to see people come to know Christ, what do? We have visions and everything, but we keep on praying. We keep on praying. When we have a concern that our country may be going in the wrong direction, what do? We pray. We pray until we receive the answer. Concerned people, dear friends, don't give up on praying. They persevere until they receive an answer from God. Look at Matthew 7:7. Bible says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Now that's in the present continuous tense in the original language. So it says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. There's that perseverance, not giving up. So the key verse in these first 8 verses of the chapter that Jewel read to us is in verse 7. Look what it says in verse 7. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him," when? "Day and night. Will he keep putting them off?" So write this down in your outline. Concerned people are not fainters, but prayers. Our second point, simple praying people are, write this down, humble people. Do we have to be in a certain position before God hears us? Do we have to say the right words? Well, there were 3 ministers who were talking about prayer in general and the appropriate and the effective ways and positions that we should pray in. As they were talking, a telephone repairman was working on the phone system in the background. And one minister said that he felt that the key was in his hands. He closed his hands and he pointed his hands toward God. Form of symbolic worship. Second minister said, well, real prayer was conducted on one's knees. On one's knees. That's where real prayer is answered. Third suggested that they were both wrong. The only position worth its salt was to pray while stretched out, flat on your face. By this time, the phone man couldn't stay out of the conversation any longer. He interjected, "I found the most powerful prayer I ever made was when I was dangling upside down by the heels from a power pole 15 meters above the ground." See, dear friends, it's not the position, but it's the attitude we come in that is important. And in verses 9 to 14 of our passage, we see the proud and the humble coming before God. That we see the Pharisee, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people." robbers and crooks, adulterers and thieves. Oh, and not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I tithe my income. Oh, he was so self-confident, self-righteous, self-elevated. He didn't pray to God. He prayed with himself. But look at the tax collector's prayer, a very humble prayer. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said, I'm the worst. He was slumped away in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up. God, have mercy on me. I am the sinner. Forgive me. This humble prayer, God heard, God answered, and God elevated. Notice the difference? Write this down. The proud, self-activated. Self-activated. The humble, God-activated. See the difference, dear friends? Look at this key verse in verse 14. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Pharisee went home condemned. The tax collector went home in a right relationship with God. The third simple praying people are, thirdly, little people, little people. A little boy was saying his bedtime prayers with his mother and he said, Lord, bless mummy and daddy and God, give me a new bicycle. His mother butted in and said, God's not deaf, son. Little boy replied, I know, mum, but grandma's in the next room and she's hard of hearing. He wanted to get his little bicycle at all costs. A little child is so precious. We saw them a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Weren't they wonderful? They say the most unusual things. They say what's in their heart. It was a blistering hot day and the house was full of guests and things weren't going very well. And finally the hostess got all the guests together and seated for dinner. And she asked her 7-year-old little daughter to say grace. But mother, said the little girl, I don't know what to say. Oh, yes, you do, said her mother. Just say the last prayer you heard me say. Obediently, the little child bowed her head in front of all the guests and recited hesitantly, Oh, Lord, why did I invite these people on such a hot day? How wonderful it was for Jesus as he was about to go to die on the cross to take out time for these little children. So precious in his sight. Dear friends, a child is so trusting, isn't it? They have no possessions. When we were young, we never worried about where our next meal came from. Mum and Dad would provide it. When we went in the car, we didn't have to pay the petrol. Mum and Dad paid for it. The child's trust in his or her parents is absolute, just like our trust in God should be. A little child is so dependent. They don't have any talents. They need someone to look after them, a mum and dad. They are dependent on them, and so we also should be dependent on our Heavenly Father. As we grew up from a child, we learn not to trust, but to worry. We don't need God. We like to be independent. A child is so ready to forgive. Many times a child is hurt but forgives so quickly. But as we grow up, we find it so hard to forgive someone. We are big people now, not little people anymore. And what does the Bible say in verse 17 of our passage? Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Simple praying people are little people People who need to know that they need God to help them. They need to trust Him. They need His forgiveness. Write this down on your outline. Big people touch people. Little people touch God. Simple praying people, fourthly, are empty people. Empty people. Oh, the rich young ruler. I would think that he was probably the only man in the Gospels that I can find who came to the feet of Jesus and went away in worse condition than he came. Only one. In these verses, we see this rich young ruler, and he was a very good living man coming to Jesus Christ. He was moral and religious. He's earnest and sincere, and probably would have qualified very well for the membership of the Lismore Baptist Church. But he was wanting a little more than he had. He had riches, but he was seeking a peace of mind in his heart that wasn't there. So he came to Christ. He wanted a secure future. He wanted the best of both worlds. And he came to Jesus, not with empty hands, seeking to be filled by Christ, but his hands were already full, but wanting more. His real God was comfort. And what he'd really worshipped was his own possessions and wealth. If he had been using his wealth in helping others and helping other people, Jesus would not have told him to give it away. Nothing wrong with money. The problem was that he was hanging on to it. And the key verse in verse 24 says, Jesus looked at him and said, I love what Mark's gospel says in the same story, the passage. Mark's gospel says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Wow. He really saw in this man, he really tried to live the life that he should live. He just had one problem. Jesus looked at him and said in verse 24 of our passage, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The Bible says he went away sad. He experienced Jesus and went away sad. He rejected what Jesus had asked him or told him. And when we come to the Lord in prayer, dear friends, how do we come? Do we come with a self-confidence in ourselves, realizing that we are much better than many other people and we need to pray for those people? Do we come asking the Lord to help us and do things for us, but we come with a but? Lord, I want to grow to be more like you, but don't expect me to read the Bible every day. Lord, I want you to forgive me, but don't expect me to forgive other people. Lord, I want to be saved, but on my terms. Dear friends, simple praying people come to God as empty people. See, dear friends, I want you to write this in. I think it's on your outline. It is hard for God to hear you and to fill you until you come with empty hands and empty hearts. I'll give you time to write that in. It is hard for God to hear you and to fill you until you come to Him with empty hands and empty hearts. What does that grand old hymn say? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Naked, come to you for dress. Helpless, look to you for grace. Finally, simple praying people are, write this down, specific people. I've got it. Specific people. In verses 35 to 43, when we see blind Bartimaeus sitting beside the road begging, doing it every day. He again hears all the passing people, but today there seemed to be a lot more noise going on. Somebody was special. There was this crowd gathered around this one person, and he asked what was happening. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is coming past. Immediately, Bartimaeus called out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Notice his persistence again. He wasn't a fainter. Even though the people tried to quieten him, he didn't call out, but he shouted the second time. His shout was filled with emotion and excitement and desperation. This was his last chance that he was able to, might be able to see. The Bible says Jesus heard his cry for help and asked him that he be brought over to him. What an experience that would have been for Bartimaeus. He's heard me. He's invited me over. This is going to be good. And Jesus asked him an unusual question. What do you want from me? Bartimaeus says, Lord, bless me. No, he didn't. He was very specific. Lord, I want to see again. See, dear friends, so many times our prayers are so general. And I do it many times myself. And we don't see all that many results because sometimes general prayers are really wasted prayers. See, if we get hungry, we get very specific, don't we? We eat. If we are tired, we get very specific. We go to bed. If we get sick, we get very specific. We see a doctor. Therefore, when we pray, we need to be specific because, write this down, specific prayer is focused prayer. Focused prayer. Look at verse 41 of our passage. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Specific question, specific answer, specific results. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. This blind man, Bartimaeus, believed without any doubt if Jesus touched him, he would see again. His faith in Christ healed him. Sometimes as we pray, we sometimes ask people to pray in a group and no one wants to pray. Because maybe they've heard someone pray and they, oh, crikey, I can't pray like that. So don't say anything. That's not important, dear friends. Sometimes when we pray for the people in the group, maybe not to God. I haven't got any people with these names. If you are, I'm not talking about you. Lord, we pray for Hillary, who is not well. She has a bad cold and her feet ache. She went to a hospital yesterday. Dear friends, God already knows all of that. What you're doing is praying to the people, letting them all know about Hillary. Lord, bless Harriet too. Amen. What is the Lord's got to bless Harriet? What is with that she might get a bad cold? Or see, we're not being specific. We're just saying, Lord, bless me. He says, well, what do you want me blessed? What do you want blessed? How many times have we come to God in prayer, yet you really deep down say, I don't think he's going to answer it. I've done it myself. Prayed about something very earnestly and then got up and somebody said something. I said, yeah, well, you know, maybe God's going to answer it. See, we all do it at times. But the Bible says in Galatians 3:11, the righteous will live by what? Faith. So do you live by security? Or by signs, or by senses, or by sight, or by faith through prayer. Dear friends, as we close, you don't have to be a theologian to get answers to your prayers. You don't have to be well educated to get answers to your prayers. You talk to the God. All you need to do is be a simple praying person who is concerned about what you're praying for, who is humble, coming with the right attitude, who is a little person needing God's daily help, who comes as a person empty, waiting to be filled, and who knows what they want, being specific in your prayers and having faith in God to answer your prayer according to His will. And people have said to me over the years, oh, that's only a cop-out according to his will. If it doesn't happen, he doesn't want it. Exactly right. God knows what's best for us. And sometimes our prayers would not be the best for us, even though we think they will be the best for us. We pray, Lord, as Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done in the garden. Dear friends, may God help each one of us to be better prayers, not to give up, not to be fainters. And may we be a person who expects God to answer our prayers according to his will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are only simple truths this morning, Lord, but truths that are so important. We want to see our prayers answered, Lord, according to your will. We want to be more specific in our praying, Lord. Help us to be concerned. Help us to come as little people and empty people waiting to be filled. And we thank you, Lord, even when we mess up in our praying, we thank you that the Holy Spirit takes our words and presents it to the Father just as it should be. What a wonderful and mighty God you are. May you help each one of us in the day ahead, in the days ahead, to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation. We thank you in his name. Amen.